Morning, everybody.
Morning.
We welcome you to our worship this morning, whether in the building or on Zoom, and we thank Carol Pearl for leading it. Tonight's service at 6:15 will be a reflective service led by Audrey. Beside me, you'll see a model of a boat. It was built by the children at Methy Church yesterday, ably assisted by Richard Nunn and Ian Methenge. Stuck onto it are some of the thinkabouts which accompany each activity. Please have a look at it after the service. Vera Livingstone is unfortunately back in hospital, and our prayers and thoughts are with Gordon and Vera. This is particularly difficult for them, as sadly their eldest son Neil has died. The memorial service for George Reeves will be taking place at Meadow Way Chapel in Helsden this coming Friday at 1:30. Audrey will circulate full details later. Lots of lists to sign up for in the lobby. Next Sunday we celebrate our church's 70th anniversary. The special service led by John will include the ordination of Alice and be having a barbecue lunch to celebrate everything. The list for this is on the notice board near the kitchen. Please sign up if you'd like to stay for the barbecue and if you can contribute a salad or a dessert. Then on the main notice board, you'll find three further lists to sign for John and Pauline's retirement tea on the 30th of July, for help supplying cakes, etc., to sell at the Eat and Rise Residents Association Open Gardens on the 9th of July, and for the coach trip to London for the URC 50th anniversary service. I will now light a candle for a moment of peace as we prepare for worship.
Thank you for your welcome and good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's always exciting to me to come here to Ipswich Road, and I never know what I'm going to find. But if you were standing where I'm standing, these beautiful boats have a message on the side. And I don't think that Audrey realised what it was either, but it kind of sums up part of the theme of today's readings, because it says, don't worry, sleep happy. And if we trust in our Lord Jesus, we can be happy, can't we? And just give over with the worrying. And that's what this is about. So I look forward to that. And I've noticed that the candle is elevated. And it's beautiful. It does remind us that Jesus is the light of the world. Now I'm going to listen to the worship songs. Thank you.
Our first worship song this morning is We Declare Your Majesty, a hymn of praise to the Creator God, to whom we owe our very existence, the God who deserves our praise and worship, and yet stoops down from heaven to pick us up when we fall, to enfold us in love, and to promise to be with us at all times. Right, hopefully this will work.
Thank you.
Before we loved God, God loved us. Lord God, we've come to tell you that we love you. Before we came to Jesus, Jesus came to us. Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you. Before we even took our first breath, the Spirit breathed across the face of the deep. Holy Spirit, come, breathe on us again. Amen. And now we're going to sing around. This is right. Father, we adore you. Lay our lives before you.
We don't have the music to this, so what we'll do, we'll sing the first verse all through together, and then we need to divide into three, which is a bit difficult, isn't it? But if we sort of have a gap here, is that your name? No, a gap here, so this lot will do the first line and carry on, then the middle section will do the first line, and then the far section. It'll work.
I love that sense of confidence. Thank you. Together now in prayer. Today is Father's Day. God, who is both a father and a mother to us, we thank you for your love for each one of us from before we were born, for your guidance and protection as we have grown, for your wisdom and strength when we have sought to parent others. We take time to remember our earthly fathers, to give thanks to you for all that they have done for us and all that they've been to us. We thank you for the good times we've shared together and through bringing us through the hard times together. But Lord, we think too of those of us here this morning whose memories of their fathers are painful, and for those who have no memories at all. Loving Heavenly Father, may we find in you a loving embrace that more than makes up for the inadequacies of our earthly fathers. For gracious God, no human parent is perfect, and we who are parents today confess our failings. We pray that you will help us to love our children as you love us, giving generously with wisdom and forgiving freely with justice. In the name of your Son, our brother, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And in his name, let's share together as family this morning the prayer which he gave to us as we say, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Are we going to hear our first reading? Thank you.
The first reading is taken from the first book of Kings, chapter 19, verses 1 to 15. King Ahab told his wife Jezebel everything that Elijah had done and how he had put all the prophets of Baal to death. She sent a message to Elijah, "May the gods strike me dead if by this time tomorrow I don't do the same thing to you that you did to the prophets." Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He took his servant and went to Beersheba in Judah. Leaving the servant there, Elijah walked a while, for a whole day into the wilderness. He stopped and sat down in the shade of a tree and wished he would die. "It's too much, Lord," he prayed. "Take away my life. I might as well be dead." He lay down under the tree and fell asleep. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said, "Wake up and eat." He looked around and saw a loaf of bread and a jar of water near his head. He ate and drank and lay down again. The Lord's angel returned and woke him up for a second time, saying, "Get up and eat, or the trip will be too much for you." Elijah got up, ate and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to walk 40 days to Sinai, the holy mountain. There he went into a cave to spend the night. Suddenly, the Lord spoke to him, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" He answered, "Lord God Almighty, I have always served you, you alone. But the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed all your prophets. I am the only one left, and they are trying to kill me. Go out and stand before me on top of the mountain," the Lord said to him. Then the Lord passed by and sent a furious wind that split the hills and shattered the rocks. But the Lord was not in the wind. The wind stopped blowing, and then there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the soft whisper of a voice. When Elijah heard it, he covered his face with his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. A voice said to him, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" He answered, "Lord God Almighty, I have always served you, you alone, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars and killed all your prophets. I am the only one left, and they are trying to kill me." The Lord said, "Return to the wilderness near Damascus, then enter the city and anoint Hazael as king of Syria." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you. Poor old Elijah, the prophets in the Old Testament stories were tested almost beyond endurance, weren't they? Bob Hartman retells this story like this, and I will need your help, please. A little later on, when I say wind, can you say woo, woo, or something that sounds like wind? Wind.
Woo.
And the earth shook harder, if you could stamp your feet or bang your hands. Brilliant. And a fire, crackle, crackle, crackle. Fire. And then when we come to the still small voice, there'll be a point where we'd say whisper, and we'll all whisper. Let's try it. These are the days of Elijah. These are the days of Elijah. There was once a prophet called Elijah, and Queen Jezebel wanted to kill him because he'd beaten the Baals. So God sent an angel to his side, and the angel made a cake for Elijah. It was an angel sort of cake. From an angel sort of guy, and it wasn't just pie in the sky. "I'm all alone," cried the prophet Elijah. "I've done my best, but I am all that's left, and I just want to run away and die." "Go to the mountain," said God to Elijah, "and wait for me to pass by, and wait for me to speak, and I'll tell you everything you want to know." So the mountain went to the prophet called Elijah, and the wind blew hard, and the earth shook harder, and a fire lit up the sky. And God spoke to the prophet called Elijah, but he wasn't in the wind, and he wasn't in the earthquake, and he wasn't in the fire, but he was in the still small voice. But he was there in that still small voice. But he was there in the still small voice. He was there in the still small voice. These are the days of Elijah. And God said to the prophet called Elijah, "You are not alone. You never were. There are 7,000 just like you." 7,000, cried the prophet Elijah. "Then I'm not alone and I'm not afraid." And Elijah went off to continue to do the work of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Lord, when we are tired and afraid, and when we need to hide, speak to us in that still small voice. When we're over busy and overwhelmed, speak to us in that still small voice. When no one else sees or understands, speak to us in that still small voice. When we are lost or lonely and in need of a friend, still small voice, speak to us. When we face life's difficult places and times with no clear way to turn, still small voice, speak to us. When the gales howl and the mountains crack, when the earth shakes and the fires rage, when the rain pelts down and thunder roars, still small voice, speak to us. And when there is nothing, silence, just you and us, why then, precious Lord, keep speaking to us. Amen. And I just had to choose this next hymn. These are the days of Elijah.
These are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored.
Lord, we thank you that although we seem to be going through something of the days of Elijah, we know that we are the people of the good news. We are Jesus' people. And so we can rest in your assurance and your promise. And we've come to thank you for that, Lord. We're offering gifts of our money, gifts of our lives, gifts of the talents that you've given to us to use outside there in a world which so much needs to know of you. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Amen. Are we going to listen to our second reading? Thank you.
It's from Luke chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. Jesus heals a man with demons. Jesus and his disciples sailed on over to the territory of Gerasa, which is across the lake from Galilee. As Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a man from the town who had demons in him. For a long time, this man had gone without clothes and would not stay at home, but spent his time in the burial caves. When Jesus saw him, he gave a loud cry, threw himself down at his feet, and shouted, "Jesus, Son of the Most High God, what do you want with me? I beg you, don't punish me." He said this because Jesus had ordered the evil spirits to go out of him. Many times it had seized him, and even though he was kept a prisoner, his hands and feet tied with chains, he would break the chains and be driven by the demon out into the desert. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Mob," he answered, because the many demons had gone into him. The demons begged Jesus not to send them into the abyss. There was a large herd of pigs nearby, feeding on a hillside. So the demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he let them. They went out of the man and into the pigs. The whole herd rushed down the side of a cliff and into the lake and was drowned. The men who had been taking care of the pigs saw what happened, so they ran off and spread the news in town and among the farms. People went out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the man had been cured. Then all the people from the territory asked Jesus to go away because they were terribly afraid. So Jesus got in the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone begged Jesus, "Let me go with you." But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Go back home and tell what God has done for you." The man went through the town, telling of what Jesus had done for him. The word of the Lord. Be to God.
The meditation of that Gerasene man who was healed by Jesus, the meditation is by Nick Fawcett. I didn't know who I was literally, for a multitude of voices competed in my head, each screaming for attention. It drove me mad, the confusion, the pulling this way and that, not knowing from one moment to the next which face I would wear, which person I would be. No wonder people were scared of me, for in my more lucid moments, I was afraid of myself, of what I might do or what I might become. But then I met Jesus and everything changed. He saw who I really was, not the monster running wild in the hills, the tortured misfit torn between competing identities, but a unique individual, a human being with as much worth and potential as any other. He reached out to me in a way no one had done before, offering love and acceptance, seeing the person behind the facade. And in so doing, he helped me to face up to myself, to confront my inner demons and to start again. Have you done that? Found real and lasting peace? Have you learned to value yourself as much as God values you? You may not be as mixed up as I was, as troubled in mind and spirit, but you're probably not untroubled either, not as free as you'd like to be from the demons that haunt you, the voices of fear, doubt, guilt, and despair that night and day whisper within. Don't run from them, for they'll always give chase. Don't wrestle on your own, for their hold is strong. Turn to Jesus and find rest for your soul. Let us pray. To all whose minds are troubled, Lord, all who wrestle with fear, worry, depression, or mental illness, bring help, understanding, and healing. Speak your word of peace, and may they find in you acceptance and understanding, quietness of mind, and rest for their soul. Amen. So let's sing our next hymn, which is Be Still and Know. Be still and know that I am God. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you sit and listen to us, but we are afraid. Sometimes we too crash around in our anger, breaking relationships and treasured trust. Forgive us. Often we speak too quickly without thinking, blowing hot and cold, being less than kind or understanding. Forgive us. We flare up and burn out. We damage delicate and loving relationships. We seek and expect attention that we don't deserve. Forgive us. Jesus, you whisper that you love us. You silence our complaints and bring welcome silence and peace to our noisy lives. Help us then, dear Lord, to listen and to hear you speaking words of calm above the noise and the chaos. Amen. And Lord, we would ask now that the thoughts and meditations of all our hearts and minds and the words of my mouth might, by the power of your Holy Spirit, be found to be acceptable in your sight. Amen. This morning's readings have told us the stories of two men separated by time and circumstance, but they have in common their suffering, loneliness, desperation, and a sense of hopelessness. It seems that nothing and no one cares whether they live or die. From Elijah hiding in his cave seeking God, to the Gerasene man living in a cave amongst the tombs, their outlook is at best very bleak. Until Elijah finds God in the calm, peaceful, quiet voice, and the Gerasene encounters Jesus, who comes to him, accepts him, and brings him back to health and a new life. Elijah was afraid. The powerful Jezebel was on the warpath and determined at all costs to destroy him, just as he had destroyed the false prophets of Baal. Poor old Elijah. He'd obediently carried out God's work, and now, far from being allowed to relax a bit and reflect on the victory, here he was, under a tree, terrified, all alone, so downhearted that he asked God to let him die. He'd simply had enough. So he settled down, fell asleep, until he was awakened by an angel bearing food and water. Elijah got up, ate and drank, and then settled back to await death. But God had other plans. And so the angel returned bearing super energy food and the command to get up and get going. And after a long journey, he eventually found a cave to shelter in on the mountainside, and he waited there seeking God's presence. God told him to stand out on the mountain where the Lord was about to pass by. So Elijah went, and Elijah waited, and Elijah strained all his senses as he experienced the display of the ultimate power of God, power demonstrated by the coming of a fierce wind, an earthquake, and fire. Surely the Almighty was going to be there in that chaotic, powerful force. But there was no sign of God in any of that display. And then at last, in the silence, Elijah heard a quiet voice, a whisper, and in that voice was God. Now, I don't think that God is actually big on playing hide and seek, but I do think that his presence, nearness, and love for each of us can be revealed to us in the most unlikely circumstances, places, and people. Silence, calm, quiet moments are not easy to find in the busyness of our everyday lives. But when we take a little time to pause and consider the majesty and the mystery of our God, it is then that we can find him. Meeting with other people who are exhibiting very different, threatening, disturbing behaviour still causes fear today. My experience of prison chaplaincy involved, amongst other things, taking special care of men at risk of self-harm or worse. Many of those I met were suffering from mental illness. Men like Chris, who was so burdened by all the suffering of the whole world that he truly believed that it was his job to overcome it. Or Tarek, who would be talking with me and then turn aside to listen to the other voices that invaded his head. And many others who would hurt themselves because they were convinced that their lives had no meaning or worth. In the prison situation, these sad responses are often, but not always, the result of drug addiction. Mental health provision in our community today is still undersourced, and it's not so very long ago in history that people suffering from similar conditions to Legion Mob would have been treated in a way not so dissimilar to the way he was treated. They would be locked away, largely hidden from public view and awareness, often forgotten by society. So Legion Mob was feared and shunned by all who knew him. He'd been banished to live in the wilderness among the tombs, the undead living amongst the dead, until he met Jesus. Jesus stepped ashore that day, and straight away, the demons who'd invaded the man recognized Jesus as being Jesus, Son of the Most High God. This poor, tormented man was so feared that attempts had been made to bind him with chains and shackles. He was banished, living out in the wilds where no one had ever come into contact with him or even remember that he existed. Naked, lonely, desperate in his saner moments, he was constantly tormented by these inner demons. And then suddenly into his hell comes Jesus. And Jesus doesn't shrink from him. Instead, he comes alongside him, having commanded the evil spirits to come out of him. Jesus asks him, "What do they call you? What's your name?" And he replies, "Legion, Mob," because so many demons had entered him. And then the demons beg Jesus not to send them back into the abyss. And in a display of his awesome, miraculous power, Jesus, agreeing to their requests, sends them into a herd of pigs. And the pigs rush, lemming-like, down a steep bank to be drowned in the lake. It's interesting, the presence of pigs and swineherds in this story, tells us that this event happened in predominantly Gentile territory. So Jesus' healing and restoration of this new Jewish man happened beyond, non-Jewish man, sorry, happened beyond the bounds of Jerusalem. Jesus reaching out to heal a Gentile. The swineherds ran into the city and the surrounding countryside to tell their almost unbelievable and very scary story. The people who heard it were astonished and not a little apprehensive. They left the safety of their daily lives and their homes, come into the presence of the dreaded legion, and found the truth of his miraculous healing by Jesus. And now they were no longer terrified by the thought of the dangerous demoniac, but by the spiritual power of the one who'd performed the exorcism, restored the man to health and life. So maybe we can understand that the crowd, on reaching the scene and finding Legion fully healed, clothed and in his right mind, reacted in sheer terrified panic. Why did the people fear Jesus' power? Could it be that the thought of losing this herd of pigs might mean that their livelihoods, their way of life, could be threatened by any further miracles he performed? And so the crowd begged Jesus to leave them. As he got into the boat, the healed man begged Jesus to allow him to go with them. But Jesus told him, go back home and tell the people exactly what God has done for you this day. Of course, the Gerasene man doesn't want to run away from Jesus. He really wants to become part of Jesus' travelling team. But instead, Jesus gives him the instruction to tell what had happened to him and how it had happened and to go to the people in his own locality. It seems that that man is going to have a very tough time in the mission field. But if we're called out by God, we are equipped for the task. And so we have then the stories of two men who both met with the power of God coming to them in the midst of the chaos and the hopelessness, the anguish of their lives. The divine power bringing calm, reassurance, healing and commission to play their part in God's plan. There are, I'm sure, at least some of us who have experienced moments that compare however little with Elijah's trials, his fear, his stress, his downhearted dejection, those times in our lives when things get really tough. We might not be running for our lives, but there are times when we would prefer to hide, if not in the cave, then at least behind the door. Those times when everything seems to go wrong. And yet, as Jesus people, we know the truth of the empty tomb and the glorious resurrection of our Lord Jesus after the horror and empty darkness of the crucifixion. For Jesus has overcome the world. He's overcome sin, he's overcome death. He really is our light in darkness. Whenever we're going through hard times, if we take time to look and to listen, we will find that he is and has always been with us throughout it all. In the quiet calm beyond the chaos, that is where we will find him, reaching out to us in love, acceptance, forgiveness, and healing. For just as he has promised, he will never leave us. The writer of Psalm 44 asks of themselves and of us, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? And then comes the word of encouragement and hope. Put your hope in God, for I will praise him, my Saviour and my God. Let us pray. God of power, you are with us at all times and in all places. In times of darkness, encircle us with light. In times of despair, encircle us with hope. In times of sorrow, encircle us with compassion. In times of anxiety, encircle us with calm. In times of doubt, encircle us with faith. in times of sadness, encircle us with joy. For you are with us at all times and in all places. Amen. Our hymn is Dear Lord and Father of Mankind. Let us pray. We give you thanks, understanding, loving, healing, and ever-present, Lord. We give you thanks for helping us to see you, to know you, to feel your presence with us, the calm beyond the storm. We give you thanks for knowing and accepting each one of us, for who we are. We give you thanks for seeing our potential and encouraging us to have the confidence and determination to reach out for it, knowing that you will be there on our journey with us. We give you thanks for so much, and for all of that, we worship and adore you, Lord. Amen. Healing, Lord, we bring to you now the name of those whose needs are in our hearts and minds this morning, knowing that you reach out in love to all. We ask for your healing presence, comfort and peace, especially for Vera and Gordon, for the family of George Reeves, for Moby, for Doreen and Vince, Jackie and John, Lillian, Megan, Ruth and Terry. We thank you, Lord, that we know that you hear and answer all our prayers. And so we bring you the names that we have read, Lord, but also those who remain within the quiet and the silence of our hearts and minds. Dear Lord, we pray now for the world around us, a world that so desperately needs to hear your still small voice, the voice of your Holy Spirit, to bring peace amidst all the crashing violence of war, hatred and division. We think of asylum seekers, many running from the threat of death and torture, risking everything they know, everything they have, hoping to find safety, welcome, compassion. We remember before you the suffering being perpetrated by the war in Ukraine, the rising tide of hatred and division in America, where more children die from gunfire every single year than from any other cause. We think of the terrible effects of climate change in a world where many are starving, experiencing failing crops, dying livestock, lack of clean water, healthcare, housing, and simple hope for the future. Lord, help us to work to bring about the kingdom values of justice, fair shares, and the right to life to the minds and hearts of those who hold powerful positions of government and decision making. And Lord, as we look at our own country, we see inflation, fast rising prices of food and fuel, bringing poverty to a level not experienced for many years, and desperate worry to many people. So many voices, Lord, raised in fear, desolation, desperation. Father, we need your presence more than ever in our world today. Help us to work for the vision of the kingdom of God coming here on earth, that all people might live together in peace, caring for each other's needs, sharing our plenty with those who have less than nothing, and in love for you. Amen. And so we come now to our final hymn this morning, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace.
There's a
have met this morning and worshipped together in freedom, but the world is groaning in chains, torn by division, desperate for love. So send us out now, dear Lord, to bring your freedom, your harmony, and your love as we share the life-changing message of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.
Amen.
And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon each one of you and all whom you love, this day and forevermore. Amen.